Francesca present Seven Matrimony.
Did you see who People Magazine named the sexiest man? Did you say you saw that it's Adam Levine?
Well, I saw Jim Gaffigan make some joke about that people, he declined so Adam Levine could win or something.
Yeah.
He's not a sexy man.
I feel like Clooney won it, like, very recently.
Well, I don't know about very recently, but I mean, he's won it before. What are you, little turd? Why are you recording this?
Just wanted to get some preamble.
Oh, okay.
This is Cinematrimony. We're not doing this from the car. We're doing this at home. But we're talking about Gravity, which we saw in 3D, as its director intended, Alfonso Cuarón. And so, I guess, Francesca, I want to start off by talking about the viewing experience, because it's not a long movie. I feel like it couldn't have been a very long movie, because the level of intensity, I just don't think I could have sustained a movie much longer than it was at the level of, like, I'm physically exhausted from watching it.
Yes, as was I. And you were probably also a little bit physically exhausted because I squeezed your head.
You did actually squeeze my head at one point. What part was that you squeezed my head? Do you remember what was happening?
I know that squeeze isn't a word, gentle listener. It's a joke.
It's
a I think reference. It was when the second bout of debris came through, so she was on the Russian.
Yeah.
Was it when she was trying to release the, I don't know any of the words, but you know, she was trying to get the parachute disconnected?
Yeah.
Is that it? Possibly.
Possibly.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway.
I just had a sense memory and I'm like all stressed out right now.
I definitely wanted to like brace myself for a lot of it, like physically. But it was really effective watching those things. And I, as the thing is, they were able to pull off those action sequences without having to do anything, and maybe part of this is because they're in zero gravity and we don't really understand how it works, but that sort of works to their advantage because they don't have to end up making the character do anything where you're like, that's ridiculous. Like, no human being could do that because we don't really know any better because she's in zero gravity.
Right. Well, it definitely all felt very immediate and very stressful and scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I will say that I had to remind myself about the amazing, you know, special effect work that was happening, which I think is a credit to the film and the filmmaker, that, like, it was seamless enough. Like, I didn't feel the gears grinding away. Like, I had to go, like, oh my, like, how are they, I had to, like, make a conscious effort to go, wait a second, how is this happening? Because
I really don't know, still, having seen it.
You know, that, like, it wasn't like, I don't know, I feel like in some movies it's like, look at this special effect. And in this movie, I guess because the whole thing was so incredibly shot, like, it let the story come through, which was good.
But it just,
it was good. It didn't feel like it was all an excuse to show you incredible visuals.
Yeah, because a lot of it's just bleak.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my point is, it's not like you ever had that moment where you're like, look at this big effect shot, because you're just so immediately immersed into it.
Yeah.
From the get-go. I mean, from the first second, it's incredible looking, and then you know, this long, long, slow zoom in, and George Clooney just bebops past, and, mm-hmm. you know, you go, you're... You know, looking at Sandra Bullock, and then the camera moves in, and you're in her point of view. That was,
yeah. That first shot is pretty long. It feels like it was like 15 minutes plus.
It's just, as someone who doesn't really like get my jollies from, like, special effects, I have to say. I was pretty blown away.
It reminded me...
feel, and, you know, that it did... I guess the thing is, it's such a, like, you know, the whole kind of point was such a personal story and such a personal growth story that the fact that they got you to just take for granted, like, yep, we're in space, and I'm just experiencing this alongside.
Well, I do want to talk about that bit of it, because I think, you know, that is obviously part of the deal here, is that she's going through an emotional process while doing all of this. And while I cared about her and wanted to survive, I think that you seem to feel a lot more emotional investment in that character than I came away with. Like, it's not that I scoff at any of it, but I didn't really feel very emotionally connected to her storyline.
It's official. You have a heart of stone.
I don't really think so.
Here's the thing that occurred to me after having some time to reflect on it, is that, and again, this is a mark of a good story, I think, but also that they were putting their, you know, emphasis on the right thing. I really didn't know if she was going to live or die, and it kind of wasn't the point of the movie. Like, I was like, this movie works for me if she dies upon reentry or doesn't. And obviously,
by the time she's...
spoiler, by the way, but I think people know. Like, once she arrives on Earth, like, it was a nice button to the story that she has this moment where she, who had been... we had gotten the picture of her, like, in a womb, has now grown to the part of childhood where she's taking her first steps. Sort of a rebirth story is kind of the idea. She rejoins the human race and all that.
Very nice observations.
I thought it was... I actually had a moment where I was like, is this, like, too on the nose? And I was like, no, I think I forgive it, because it's not like she just arbitrarily couldn't walk. She's been in space, so that's why it was, like, a struggle for her to take those first few steps. So it works as this allegory. But I once she sort of made her peace with the whole thing, I was like, okay. Like, that was the main struggle, was her making her peace, her letting go. So, I mean, I'm glad she survived, but again... I it would have been a satisfactory movie, I think, either way, if you'd gotten that big scene, even if she hadn't made it.
I agree.
It would have been okay, because she would have been at peace. So that's, like, what you're invested in, is that this woman, and sort of, she has chosen to live, but even if she doesn't at that point, that was the point, was that she's chosen to try to live.
Well, I'm with you there. I follow you. I don't think the... And I'm struggling to figure out why it didn't work on that level for me, because I think I've certainly seen things where I thought Sandra Bullock was likable, but she can also be a little bit flat or hammy to me. Like, I would say The Blind Side would be an example of that. That was a little broad. I don't think she's broad in this movie. And I don't particularly think that her dialogue is super great. Like, for somebody who's asked for the vast majority of the movie to be talking to herself.
I think you're trying to tell me that you did not like this movie very much.
No, I did like the movie, and I enjoyed the experience of watching it, but I never really found myself emotionally affected.
Well, it's not, I mean...
I found myself viscerally affected. Like, I definitely, my heart rate got up whenever she'd be in danger. And it worked for me on that level. But it didn't really, and I don't, you know, I've sort of been talking to the film nerds about it a little bit, trying to figure out what it is. And, you know, I would say maybe part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the only information we get about her is spoken, so we don't get to see any of her history or her backstory. But I don't know that that's necessarily rules out the possibility I could ever feel connection to a character.
Cheesy and cheap in the movie.
I agree. I don't think it would have fit this movie, but I don't think that for me, you know, again, I can't really come up with a great explanation of why I don't connect, other than that maybe I think that her. She didn't say any words that got through to me because I don't think it's a particularly great piece of dialogue writing. And I don't think her performance blew me away. I feel like it's a little bit understated, and I wouldn't blame her for that, but I just don't, I think that maybe kept me at arm's length a little bit.
Well, I think that you're an idiot. And then also, I think that, I mean, the point was she was sort of bottling up and tamping down. I mean, even the way she relays her daughter's death is like two sentences.
Right.
But like, you sort of the juxtaposition of her and Mark Kowalski, whatever his name was. Matt Kowalski. You know, is that she's kind of this very, like, tense and buttoned up person, and you hear her sort of, stop it, get off cat. You know, sort of the way she describes her daughter's death sort of makes you realize, okay, she's this, like, she's just bottled this all up, and she's just kind of, you know, by saying, like, it's so senseless, she's just sort of got this nihilistic view of life at this point. I don't know if I use that word.
I think that's probably an okay.
But that she's just kind of like, what's the point? And so, like, she's kind of chosen to disengage herself from life, which you could certainly understand under circumstances. But, you know, sort of the whole point of him and the ordeal is that it makes her go, like, well, you know, life is worth living, but you sort of have to choose to make it worth living. And she had kind of shut herself off. And so I don't think she's supposed to be this super emotional character. And when you started to see these more, the flashes of emotion are after, you know, her womb scene, her baby in the womb scene, is when she starts being more emotional in terms of, like, you know, getting angry at that one point when she's out of gas and the thing. Like, that's kind of the first time, yes, she's frightened and freaking out when she's, like, you know, loose out in space. But that's the first time you really see her get angry about it. And then, you know, she has her kind of epiphany moment where she's going, like, you know, I'm either going to burn up or I'm going to make it.
Right.
And either way is fine. You know,
the dog scene where she's talking to the guy on Earth and she starts crying?
I mean, again, that's my point. She's kind of bottled up for the first half of the movie, and she's starting to, like, explore some emotions and let some things loose. I mean, it was a little weird, but I think at that point, she was so desperate, you know. And I kept likening this in my head to 127 Hours, which I know you liked a lot.
I was a lot more emotionally connected to that movie.
Yeah, which I don't understand why you would be, though, because, you know, you literally know nothing about him.
That's true.
And there's nothing really to him as the person. He sort of becomes, you know, a more fulfilled character in his life that he goes and gets married and has a son. But, like, I think there's something to, you're like, oh, viscerally I was invested but not emotionally. But I think if you are viscerally invested, then you become emotionally invested, because 127 hours, like, I think we were both, like, sobbing like a baby by the end of that movie, and it was just because you're like, you're so there, you know, white knuckling it with him.
I'd have to dig deeper
when they, like, you know, have these little pieces of,
I don't know. I'd have to dig deeper to find out why one of them had such so much more power over me than the other.
I don't know.
What do you think?
Sexism.
But I think that the one that kept coming into my mind as a comparison for this movie is Castaway, which is that I found it really intellectually interesting, and I wanted to see what happened next, and I was really compelled by the plot. But, you know, to me, kind of the personal, emotional journey of it, I guess the only way I could think to phrase it is, it just didn't feel like it earned my attention as much as the rest of the movie did, so that I didn't really, once he kind of got off the island, I kind of didn't care anymore. And I feel a little bit the same way. Like,
well, that's the point.
Once she became safe physically, I didn't really care anymore.
That's the point, Matt. This movie,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, there was no fat.
But what I'm saying is,
it was literally only I mean, there was 4 minutes before she was in peril, and it ended immediately after she was out of peril.
What I'm saying is the elements, those elements of it that are designed to... To me, there's some... there. You say that there's no separation between the two... What I perceive to be two separate experiences in a movie, which one being wanting to see what happens next in the plot, and the other being how involved you become emotionally, how much empathy the movie creates within you for the character and what they're experiencing. And I don't know. I don't know where to go from there, but I think it's interesting that you view them as a seamless thing, and I seem to be separating the two things.
I mean, I'm not saying seamless, but I was given enough, you know, reason to sympathize with her. I mean, you know, you're a parent. You should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime anybody talks about a child dying, I mean, I'm wrecked. Basically, that's the saddest thing in the entire world I can think of, and so. I am invested in this woman. But again, like I said, it wasn't really, the point wasn't if she survived or not. It was just like, I wanted, you know, her to find some peace. And she did. It also kind of made me think of The Fighter too, which actually I can't even really remember the plot of it. I just remember that one significant scene with the cake that was your climax moment.
Oh, for sure.
This
yeah.
movie, to me, your climax really is.
I couldn't even
her
tell you.
Going like whichever way it goes, that's fine. Like, that was kind of, you know,
yeah.
the ultimate moment of emotional release.
See, to me, and for me, it was different. For me, it was, I was more focused on seeing her, I think I was more focused on seeing her safely survive
the thing.
Well,
I mean, I wanted her to, but I'm just saying, I also, from a storytelling point of view, I didn't know, I was like, I don't know, they might kill her off, they might not, because it would be, kind of, you know... It would be realistic for her to die upon reentry, and so I really didn't know which way they were going to take me, and I was kind of like, I am at peace with whichever way this goes. Like, I can live with it. I'm glad she survived. And like I said, it then sort of pulled it all together nicely with the whole, you know, walking on the beach metaphor aspect of it. So, I mean, you know, I was invested in her living, but I'm just saying... Kind of, they hit the point at which I was like, okay, well, I'm so.
It's not registering you. I can.
Good.
I can't
it
see
be,
any blips.
I was trailing off. I didn't know how to finish that sentence.
Clooney, what did you think about his addition?
I mean, I think he was good. Like I said, I think it was mostly about him being a counterpoint mm-hmm. for, and you know, I mean, Clooney's cool. He's gonna be cool and. Just like, whatever, man. But like, you know, it was good. He's a good persona to have to be like the voice of calm and reason because he does seem like a fairly unflappable gentleman. So, you know, you buy him as the guy who even when she's spinning off by herself can be like, just breathe, just calm down, it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
So I thought he was good.
I agree.
You know? I mean he wasn't really like playing against type or anything, but you know. He was, I believed him as a capable, you know, pilot, whatever he was,
mm-hmm.
captain. So, he was good.
All right, well, I guess that's, do you have a final thought?
I think you are a monster.
You think I am a monster is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, that's the thing, though. I'm not the only person who's had this experience, I don't think, with this movie, of saying that they think it's a little bit cold and a little bit emotionally distant. But I will tell you that Ben Stark agrees with you.
I think you are a little bit cold.
I have lots of... I have a whole lot of movies that we've done podcasts here on where I felt deeply emotionally connected to what was going on. I would say I felt more emotionally connected to The Hobbit than I did to this movie.
Well, that's because you're a little boy in a dress.
A little boy in a dress?
Yep, that's what I said. With your little toy airplane and your hoop and stick.
Thanks for that.
Uh-huh.
For that very astute cinematic criticism.
Well, yep. I've been reading Ebert's book, so
mm-hmm.
I know what's up.
All right. Well, I still think it's a really good movie. I just didn't connect with it on that level. But
well, to me, to say you didn't connect with something and then say you think it was a good movie, that is, those are mutually exclusive things.
Why? I don't emotionally connect with 2001: A Space Odyssey, but I think it's a great movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never made it through.
That's true.
I didn't emotionally connect with it, so why am I supposed to be invested in a story that I don't care about?
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, thanks,
Francesca.
Well,
wait, should we talk about...
What?
So you weren't impressed with the technical achievement?
Oh, yeah, I was. I thought it was brilliant looking. That's what I'm saying. As an experience of watching a movie and seeing how it all plays out and the way the plot moves and what they put her through and what she has to do to survive, it's really compelling. There was not one second of that movie where I wished I wasn't watching the movie. It just didn't ever make my...
Why did you keep looking at your phone then?
Totally separate, unrelated reason.
Remember that commercial at the beginning of the movie where it says, "This is rude."
We were the only people in the theater.
Yeah, there wasn't anybody sitting next to you who could have found that distracting and annoying that you kept looking at your phone.
Anyway.
Good people. Listeners of Cinematrimony, please take Matt to task about this.
My point being, I just didn't ever feel... my eyes well up or my, you know, lump in my throat over what was happening.
I
was just engaged in a different way.
Sour Patch Kids in my face so I wouldn't sob.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a jerk.
Different people.
Yes, I guess so.
Affected by different things, Francesca.
I am a little sensitive today. I've sustained an injury. My garage door is broken, and the garbage disposal has broken.
So when you were thinking about the fact that she lost her daughter, what you were...
Matt, the metaphor
metaphor was...
Don't you say it, you nasty, nasty, ugly man.
Your garbage disposal was the daughter.
No, I'm just saying. I was already a little emotionally keyed up. That is... Matt... That's not funny.
Okay.
I don't make light of that. I'm just saying, I was having an emotional day.
You're right. We shouldn't joke about broken garbage disposals.
You're not being funny right now. We shouldn't joke about my wounded finger.
No, your finger is a pretty it's a pretty serious wound. Pray,
you don't even know.
Pray for Francesca's finger, y'all. Hashtag pray for Francesca's finger.
My finger is fine. It does hurt like a bitch, though. I will say that.
God, now we have to put the explicit tag on this podcast.
Bitch is an explicit?
I think it does.
Are you saying... No. Bitch. That's a PG-13 word.
Yeah, you're just saying it over and over again.
Yeah, well. So many children want to listen to our podcast.
All right. Well. That's it.
I guess so.
Listen to our older... Did we ever do a Children of Men podcast, or was that before our time?
Why are you trying to recommend that?
Because that's the same director, and I liked it.
Yeah, well,
I liked it a lot more.
Did we do a Prisoner of...
No, Azkaban. We definitely didn't do a Prisoner of Azkaban podcast.
I don't know. We were dating.
That's way long ago.
For the record, I didn't like his direction with Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
But that is more to do with Harry Potter, the property of the movie.
That'll be on our special Harry Potter retrospective podcast series.
Oh my gosh, the people would not even be able to handle it. Actually, they wouldn't, because it would just be me being like, yeah, but they changed this thing from the book.
Yeah.
And it was much better in the book.
Just be you saying the things that weren't in the movie that were in the book.
I think that was basically what our Deathly Hallows Part 2 podcast was.
It was just you going, they didn't put in the house elves.
Meant that they messed up Hermione
right.
and Ron's first
I'll
kiss.
Spare you, but thank you for listening.
It was just beautifully written in the book.
Go to filmnerds.com or like us on Facebook if you don't already.
Hashtag save finger.
Yeah. France finger.
Send me money. I might have to have a finger amputation.
Fingerectomy.
Ew. Sounds too much like a butt situation.
Leave it there.